gave me you. Good morning and welcome. That song introduces our topic for today, which is going to be missionary marriage and love. Good morning. My name is Katharina Vidi, and this is Listen Up. Jesus is on the air. We have great guest speakers today. It's going to be such a great show. We have Melissa England and
nice
Joe.
Nice to meet everyone.
Thank you. Thank you, Katharina. Thanks for having us.
No problem. So Joe helps out Trevor, and I asked them to come kind of last minute today, and they said yes, and you know, I'm so grateful. So it's going to be a good show.
Anytime.
Yeah.
It's all about saying yes, you know, to the little opportunities that God puts in your path.
Yeah, because it's going to be so blessed, you know. You could have been anywhere, but you came here, so it's going to be great. So our call-in number is 631-888-8811, and our texted number is 516-784-6081. Please feel free to call or text in. So, missionary marriage, that's a cool topic. I was telling Melissa before that it's an interesting word choice, because marriage is a mission. We're on a mission to become saints, for each spouse to grow holy, to help each other grow in holiness, as well as helping other people and being that example to others around us, just as Christ gave himself for the church and loved us. So the church is the spouse and Christ is the bride, a lot of times it's mentioned. So marriage is that example. And so thank you. We're going to be talking about that. And
right, that's a great point, Katharina, because when you get married, you are going on a mission together for God, and you got to stay within that mission and do the right things in your marriage and in life in general. So that's a good point.
We were talking a little bit before the show how, you know, every individual too has that mission, you know, to become a saint and make it to heaven. And, you know, what we had jotted down in our notes here, that once you get married, you still have that individual mission, you know, but now you also have that joint mission where, as a couple, you know, you're helping each other to become saints and make it to heaven. So that's kind of where my focus with this topic today was, thinking mission, and you know, like, what is the point? What is the overall point of why we're here? What is the overall point of why we get married? You know, why did God create the sacrament of marriage to begin with? You know, I think it's to sanctify ourselves, to sanctify our own family and friends and everyone that we have those relationships with. Everybody that we could touch with our marriage, I think we're supposed to be touching with our marriage, if we allow God, you know, to work through our marriage, and we have God and Christ as the center of the marriage.
Yeah, I like the quote that you gave me on here. It's from...
Give you many quotes.
Yeah, there's many quotes, yes.
I was busy last night.
Yes, thank you. From the Bible, it's from...
Sure.
Ecclesiastes 4:12. Yes. It says, where a lone man may be overcome, two together can resist. A three-ply cord is not easily broken. And I love that image, because three-ply cord, so God is the Trinity, and then also in the marriage, there's also husband, wife, and then God.
That's right.
And I love what you wrote here. God is the third braid in the three-ply cord of Christian marriage. When you have a husband and wife tied together to God, who's the third cord, then you have an unbreakable bond, which is really interesting, because they also say, like triangles, there's like three sides, and if structures have like triangles in them, they're not easily broken.
Yes. And like there's something about the number three. Like it's the perfect number.
Yeah.
And I guess it's the number that signifies strength.
Correct. You know, three is very important, because everything together with three, even arcs, when building stuff in the Roman times, they use triangles and all that stuff to build, and it keeps the structure strong. Same thing as a marriage.
That's cool.
So,
I don't know if you ever heard of Archbishop Fulton Sheen.
Yes.
And I didn't read the book, but there is a book that he wrote, Three to Get Married.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
You know,
cool.
Where it's you, it's the two spouses, each other, and God. Mm-hmm. So, like, every good Catholic Christian marriage is supposed to be, you know, not just the two of you getting married, but you getting married with God, you know, in the center of that marriage. So mm-hmm.
Right.
Another, that's why I like this three-chord image, too. It's the same.
Another great point, too, also, is that when you get married, life in general is not going to be perfect, and that's why you trust in God. And when stuff happens in a marriage that might not be perfect, you have God, and that's that third string that keeps the marriage together and keeps you having faith and to achieve what you want to achieve despite setbacks or kinks in the road. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. As we know, life, again, is not perfect, so God keeps us strong.
Yeah, like we really can't just rely on our own strength alone. You know, I think two people just getting married, like, you're not going to have the strength to get through everything life is going to throw at you. But I think if you have that third cord, you know, running through the marriage, that's where you stay strong and united. You know, like, I think the goal, because I like the goals, is to have that Christ-centered marriage, you know, that three-ply cord.
Yeah, that's great. And so in your case, that would be just praying to God and asking God for that strength, right? Like, Lord, you know, we're going through a really rough time right now, whether it be financially or moving or whatever. Just say, God, please come and help us. And and that helps you get through it, right?
No matter what it is, this is the goal. This is the ideal. I'm not going to say we live up to the ideal, but I think we're just two ordinary people just trying, just constantly trying. And I think the goal is to try to keep Christ at the center. And the way you do that is prayer. Prayer, really, couple prayer. And then the sacraments, you know, because we're so blessed in the Catholic Church, you know, the sacraments is like a constant well, you know, that you're supposed to draw from, you know, from strength. You know, I said confession, not just when you're in mortal sin, but just to go even every few weeks to just get that, you know, shower of grace.
Mm-hmm. Once a month, you know, maybe.
Of course, once a month is a great thing, I think, to strive for. And mass attendance together, you know, and trying so much to have a daily prayer routine, I think, is a great way to keep Christ at the center of a marriage.
So do you maybe, like, at a night after dinner, you could say, like, a prayer together, or it doesn't have to be very long.
Yeah,
right?
And, you know, and we do grace before meals as a constant reminder, too. And we're striving now for daily prayer at night as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
know,
it could
I say
be hard
striving
because
on
you're
some
tired
days you're tired, you know.
Yeah.
But that's our goal, and we've been going to this Oremus prayer series at St. Joseph's in Babylon, led by Father Charles Mangano.
Oh, okay.
And it's supposed to teach you how to have that daily prayer routine and, you know, grow closer in your relationship to Jesus. So we're trying a little bit of the Lectio Divina,
mm-hmm.
you know, where you pray
great.
A little bit with the scripture, mm-hmm. meditate
a
little.
But that definitely helps for, like, young people, too, just maybe going to events together or something like that helps, because we live in a time where we have technology, and the young people too, even people my age, the TV and the phone and internet, and you have all these things that distract you, especially when you work all day and you come home and you're tired and you had a long day's work. Going to an event after work might be something fun that you could still do something that is related to God or the church where you could do together or even on your own, and it'll still be fun and feel like you're coming home and unwinding from work when you just want to watch TV or do some hobby of yours, you know?
Yeah, it'll relax you in that way, like you said, and you'll still be learning and growing.
Right.
Absolutely.
So yeah, that's great.
Like Joe was saying, I think that keeps you on your focus, that marriage together, you're on a mission and a ministry. You know, like, we go to a lot of the young adult events, and back when we were dating and engaged, we had a lot more time to be more actively involved and leaders in, you know, organizing young adult events. But for now, we try to go when we can. But I think to have, like, a united mission where you're together trying to help others and together trying to build up the kingdom of God, as I always saw it, like, I think that keeps your marriage focused as well, like you're on a mission together, you know?
Yeah, I think that's a great example for all of us today, because not everyone has that idea in mind that, you know, dating and marriage is supposed to be for God. A lot of times God is taken out, and I think that's important to have examples like you guys that, you know, are trying, and that we want that to happen because, you know, God wants the best for us. So,
yes.
And he wants us happy. Yes. And so that's really great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was something I was thinking about last night. It's so funny that you say that and how the Holy Spirit works, because mm-hmm. I think that whole thing is about, you have to have that trust in God that God really does want you happy, you know, and that God really wants your marriage to be great, mm-hmm. you know, and I think it's a whole shift in your worldview, you know, because how many people out there see like the Ten Commandments as something like God is just making, you know, maybe arbitrary rules or something that we have to follow. And it's so totally different when your worldview changes and you're seeing it as, no, like, this is a set of rules God gave us to be happy, you know, to keep us close to him, to keep us close to others. You know, it's the whole way in which you view God's rules and God's way of doing things. You know, mm-hmm. even dating, like you said, mm-hmm. like, do you see it as a burden? Like, oh my goodness, we have to remain chaste as if it's a burden. Or do you see it as it's a joy, you know, to date and to be chaste and to anticipate, you know, that sacrament of marriage and that specialness that God has intended for when you become husband and wife? I think it's all your perspective, you know, how you view the commandments and everything in life.
That's great. Yeah, especially when you mentioned dating and trusting in God. And, you know, what advice? Yeah. What advice would you give people who maybe listeners who are listening that, you know, are single or would like to be married, and just what advice? I know you went on activities together, the mission, helping and stuff.
I guess my advice, Katerina, mm-hmm. would be that, like, for my example, when I was younger, I tended to work a lot, and I was really wanted to get my degree and do what I always dreamed of, do broadcasting, and just get my education, because it was very important to my family that my mom actually was born in Italy, so going to college was a very important thing in getting education. So that kept me busy when I was younger. I worked all the time. I really strived to achieve stuff. And that kind of created me not to have time to really go out with anybody. I still hung out with friends and did stuff, but I didn't really, in my mind, make it a big deal that, oh, I wasn't going out with anybody. I was so into what I was achieving and hanging out with my friends and stuff that I didn't worry about it. And I guess the point to sum up to young people is, don't worry about when that person's going to come or if I'm going out with somebody. Achieve what you want to achieve. Go to school. Do what you want to do. Or even if you don't go to school, intern somewhere. Do what your dreams are. And when it comes time, God will give you the person that you love when it's right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, he'll bring that person to you. So don't rush anything. Just let it happen naturally.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very big thing, though. Like, easier said than done is the trust.
But
trust in God, you know, when your heart is aching, you know, to find somebody. So I think, you know, ultimately that heartache is only going to be satisfied by Jesus, you know, by having a personal relationship with Jesus. So I would say the best thing is work on yourself and your relationship with Jesus. Pray about what mission does he want you to be on at that point in time. And what we did was we tried to work on building up the kingdom of God, you know, as single people, building up like our young adult kingdom together and trying to build up people around you so they can grow stronger in their faith. And then, you know, put yourself in positions where you're meeting other young people of faith. You know, like, give God that opportunity that maybe if you're going to meet somebody there, you're putting yourself out there. You know, but not despairing, you know, that you haven't found somebody yet. But but I think, you know, if you're building up the kingdom and others around you, you never know, you may be building up the one who's going to be your future spouse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I would say focus on the mission, the end goal, which is yourself becoming a saint and trusting in God. And always praying about, does God want me to get married? Will God give me a spouse? And trying not to despair about it, even though that's easier said than done.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Yeah, just focusing on your dream, like what you said, like your job and God working in that, and then also meeting other people. And that's really great. And I know you mentioned before the Holy Spirit, and I was just reading a little bit. I got this book. I found it in my house. Well, it's really great, actually. It's not just a book. But it's the Catechism of the Catholic Church, which has pretty much tenets of our faith in it. And it breaks it down really nicely when you have questions about, you know, what is marriage and why do you have to get married in the church, or what is that about? And any question you have about dating, about just anything really, it's in this book about the sacraments, and it's just listed so great.
And it actually is readable. I told Katarina before, I actually read that book cover to cover.
I know, that's some amazing.
Some people might say that's the most boring thing on earth, but
yeah,
that's when I made the full choice that, you know, I want to embrace my Catholic faith. Everything in here is true and speaks to your heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, can you mention a little bit about that? Like when when you came back to the church and, you know.
Saying to Katarina, I've always been a Catholic, but my family is not especially strong in the Catholic faith. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't really say, you know, it was a Christ-centered family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so maybe that's something Joe and I are striving for now, because we've learned from our own, you know, natal families what we'd like to do differently with our families. So, you know, at least my family sent me to catechism and stuff like that, but I think it was more like the typical confirmation and then you're done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and the faith wasn't lived out, so I didn't see it as being important to my parents, and my mother's not a Catholic, so it wasn't really important just to my father, you know, so I just didn't go to Mass. It wasn't something my family did. But it was really a free choice that I made in college, coming back to the faith. And it was really when my heart was open, at a time when my heart was open and I was seeking, what is the purpose of life? You know, is there more, like, what is this all about? And honestly, it was a time when I was pretty sick for a time with, like, anxiety issues and depression and stuff like that. And wondering, you know, what is life all about? And that's what God used to have my heart open to him at that point. So it was a cross, but it was a blessing, you know, because otherwise my heart may not have been open, you know. So that's when I started going to church regularly, coming to Sunday Mass by myself, and reading and trying to discover what is the truth about life, what does my faith really teach. And when it touched my heart and I said, this is true, you know, and it gave me that purpose in life, then I said, I want to give myself to this, you know. It spoke to me. So it was a free choice, you know, to really embrace the faith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so inspiring, because what you were just saying, living your, you know, your life, and God touched you, and then you were just moving forward with that, and the Holy Spirit, his grace was just working in you.
And it was while I was in college, you know, a secular college, which you would think is a shocking place for someone to find their faith in college. Usually nowadays you think it's the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
So I know it was God. You know, I know it was God. At that time, I didn't even know what is a Newman Club. You know, I never heard of any kind of Catholic campus ministry.
What college did you go to?
I went to Adelphi.
Adelphi. Oh, nice.
So I found myself going to, like, the Christian club on campus, because I didn't even know there was a Catholic club. But I went to Mass, and, you know, coming to Mass, that's where I came back.
That's funny. Melissa says that because when I was younger, I went to CW Post at Brookville doing the broadcasting program, and I didn't even know they had their own version of a Newman Club and a religious center. And back then, I didn't know about it. I didn't know that it even existed. So that's funny. And I didn't know all this stuff existed till I started dating Melissa and we started going out. And it's funny how you just on campus, you don't even realize that stuff is there that whole time because of our culture and, you know, what their ideals are of religion, you know, and the mindset of the culture of the college, you know.
Right. And also too, like what you said, it's when we're open to it as well, because you might like know, oh, I think I know that it exists or it's there, but you know, I kind of don't want it right now.
Yes.
But
yes,
you have to be like, God touches you at a time sometimes, like at a low point, or sometimes just like, okay, I can't, you know, hide from the truth anymore, or, you know, I want to be truly happy, and you start going, and then you start meeting people, like, you know, a lot of times it's in college, some people, you know, go towards, like, the drugs and alcohol, and sometimes, you know, you really find nice friends and people that you could grow in the faith, and I feel like the faith, being a Christian, being a Catholic, for me, just gives your life so much more meaning. Like what you said, you could live for God, and you have worth, and you know.
Yeah, and I felt like the world out there, like, it really wasn't giving you that meaning or that purpose, you know. Or if it was trying to, in telling you that the meaning and the purpose was get a good job and have a lot of money, that so-called purpose didn't really speak to me or touch my heart or inspire me and give me something to strive for.
Right.
You know, it was only really coming back to the church when I started, especially reading John Paul II. I recommend anybody really like the theology of the body is life-changing. You know, I think in this day and age when there's so much confusion and a lot of young people don't feel they have a purpose, I think just read John Paul II. I think he spoke to young people. Pope Francis continues to do that. You know, they have the World Youth Day and they're trying to awaken young people. I think they're trying to awaken something in our hearts that tells us that we have a purpose and a meaning, you know? Mm-hmm. And I just couldn't recommend enough the theology of the body to everyone. We try to make it, you know, the center of our marriage. That the whole theme of that is give yourself as a gift. And I'm sure you're familiar with theology of the body, Katerina, that
a little bit.
That's the whole theme. Give yourself as a loving gift.
So in marriage, that means like physically, of course, but also just in day-to-day life through the struggles, right? Mm-hmm. Is that...
Like if you think about it in every way that you can give yourself as a gift. You know, in marriage, there's a lot of things maybe you don't really feel like doing. You know, chores and things like that, you know. You could try to turn anything into a positive. I try to make the best of it and say, I can do the vacuuming as a gift to Joe, you know, and it sort of into a positive thing because, you know, I don't want to do it on the inside.
Or, you know, give it together to Joe and to God. Yeah. You know, those little things. Even if you don't feel like giving it to Joe at the moment.
That's a good point.
You give it to God anyway.
Give it to God. You can always give it to God.
And then God gives it back to Joe.
Yeah, because in a marriage, you got to work together as a team. There's lots of stuff that one person might not want to do, while the other person don't mind doing. Like, I don't mind doing certain stuff. So, like, doing the bills and stuff. I don't mind doing that. I don't know if it's a control thing or just I don't
want to
sound
now.
Like crazy, but I don't mind doing it just because I like planning. I'm good at that stuff. I've always been naturally. So you work together. So the one person's good at one thing, the other person's good at another thing. You work together and you find what works, you know, in the marriage.
Because I'm sure that's a transition too, because, you know, living together and trying to see, okay, who does what, you know, and just kind of working through it. It's working in a team. It's sacrifice. And
I think it's every day. Every day you're learning more what it means to be married.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like I said, no marriage is perfect. I think you can really get down on yourself if you start to think you have to have a perfect marriage. I think it's about realizing that it's always going to be two imperfect people. We have a quote in the beginning that I heard somewhere else. I didn't come up with this. But a perfect marriage is just two imperfect people who refuse to give up on each other. That's really what marriage is. You know, I think from beginning to end, you're always going to be imperfect people just striving to try to get better. You know, and let me see if I could find this. You're trying to confront one another's weaknesses. If it's okay if I read something from this really good book called Just Married by Greg and Lisa Popchak. When it says, the early years of marriage are the best time to establish those regular rituals of couple prayer time, faithful mass attendance, and regular confession that give you the grace you need to be patient and loving with each other as you confront each other's weaknesses head on. And I just thought that spoke to me because marriage is constantly confronting each other's weaknesses, always realizing you're married to a sinner and you're a sinner, you know, but hand in hand, you're just walking together, trying to get better every step of the way, you know.
Mm-hmm. And trying to help each other. It's confronting. Sometimes we don't like to be confronted because we're used to how we are, but that's when God gives us the other person, like the opening song, to help us. And to, in the end, they really care for you and they want the best for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
So. Right, because before you're married, you come from two separate worlds. So even if you're still at home and stuff, you're used to your own way of doing things with your family or even on your own routine. So when you become married, you got to get used to each other's routine and find a new routine and work together. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's hard to do, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's not comfortable, but with God.
You're right. You're right. Sometimes God, you have to be okay with being a little bit uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I like, somebody told me one time that God stretches you. I like that image too, because like God stretches you sometimes to like uncomfortable points and allowing you to grow as a person. And in marriage, I think that's a really great example.
I think I've heard that too, that faith is a muscle that has to be exercised and stretched and be made a little bit uncomfortable and maybe experience a little bit of pain. But if you want true faith to develop into a strong muscle, you know, you have, that's what you have to go through, the workouts, you know, the spiritual daily workouts.
And just like faith, any God gives us pain to make us stronger, and not just in marriage, especially in marriage, but in everyday things, in sports, everything. We go through pain, even people that join the military and everything. You go through pain too, and you become stronger.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. So we're going to play a little song now just to kind of to break it up a little bit. But yeah, let's just keep it in mind that the song is called Love After All, and pretty much to know that God is holding you in his hand and to trust in his love and that he's helping you get through these hard times of the stretching. So yeah, let's just relax and listen to that. Thank you for listening. And again, our call-in number, our text-in number is 516-784-6081. And the call-in number is 631-888-8811. You can just shoot a text or call in, see how you're liking it so far, the show. So, okay, we're going to go back to the topic of missionary marriage. And our new bishop, Bishop Barris, also highlights a lot about mission and how we need dramatic missionary growth. Yes. And for people to come back to the church, come back to God's love, and how what our role is in being missionaries. And so marriage, it offers a great opportunity for us to be missionaries. Yes. And
it's so funny because I was thinking about Bishop Barris's, you know, letter. It was printed in all the bulletins, you know, and then our pastor also mentioned it, that as an individual and as a family, our goal really is to try to each invite somebody to come back to Mass.
Mm-hmm, right.
So it's so funny that you say that, you know, and we were speaking beforehand that, you know, what does a marriage do? Like, a marriage forms a new family, you and your spouse, but it forms an even larger family because now your spouse's family is your family and vice versa. And I feel also like your really good friends also become your family, you know. So now, to me, you know, God building a marriage is building up this family. You're building up this family of God, and with that, you know, with family comes obligation and also opportunity, you know, for evangelization. And like we were saying before, everything is how you see things, you know. And do you want to see things as an obligation or as an opportunity, you know, to bring God's love to people, you know, and to grow closer to God yourself? So I said, we were saying before, you know, with family comes a lot of maybe obligations, things you have to go to. Maybe wedding celebrations that you have to go to, maybe family birthdays that you have to go to. You know, we have so many obligations these days that it has kept us from maybe doing other ministry things in the church that we'd like to do. But I have to remind myself and ourselves that this is our mission field too. Now, like when we have these obligations, like we have to take that and use that as an opportunity that these are real people that we're interacting with, that we should be trying to touch them and develop closer, you know, kinship and bonds with our family and showing them the love of God. And that's part of our mission, you know. And I think we have to use those events even to grow closer to our family, you know, and to try to bring them closer to God as well, you know, use those as opportunities for evangelization.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And yeah, it's exactly what you were saying, that there are opportunities, and sometimes there are opportunities for God to come in and change not only other people, but you as well, and you grow. And that's a great reminder for us.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because me and Melissa, we love going to family events. I do too, especially my younger cousins. So it's a good way to show them God and just to be kind and just to have fun. And because we're all one big family, essentially, and that's what God teaches, that he used marriage for humans to come together and grow closer to each other from wherever you're from. And when you're hanging out with family, and especially younger cousins and stuff, you could use that opportunity as not as a burden, as some fun to do and to get closer. And that kindness you show to your family to go closer to God. Mm-hmm. And sports is a big thing in both our families, and that brings us closer. And you could use that as a way of God showing to bring you closer, playing sports and watching sports.
Yep. Oh, cool.
Yeah. It's something that I've learned too, is every kind of relationship out there takes work, you know, especially a marriage, but everything, a friendship, even, you know, mother-daughter relationship, everything is going to take work, you know. And lately, you know, my personal goal, what I'm trying to do, is to work on developing closer relationships with family, you know, with my mother, with my brother, my father. You know, because I think that's really how you evangelize too, is to evangelize with friendships and with love and develop that closeness with people. And then their heart is going to be open to hearing what you might have to say, you know, about why are you so happy? You know, why do you have that purpose? But first they have to know how much you care about them.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
right.
What is it like? Nobody knows, nobody cares about how much you know until they know how much you care.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right. Yeah, just being their friend, you know, and just hanging out with them. And I like the example that you in a family, something that unites everybody, whether it be sports or mm-hmm. something, you know, just to kind of, you're spending time together. And then, mm-hmm. you know, just your natural self kind of comes out, like mm-hmm. God just kind of uses you in a way, and then, you know, hopefully that they'll also be sure. intrigued and ask you sure. those questions about the faith. And
yeah, and it's an effort, you know, to make that time for one another. Mm-hmm. Just like in a marriage, you have to, can't get too caught up in the busyness and the chores and the day-to-day. You have to make at least a little bit of time to just enjoy your time together and work on that closeness, you know, work on having those deep conversations again. You know, it's a work, you know, but if it's something you want to achieve, then you will.
Yeah, persevere in it, right? Mm-hmm. That's important, and God will give us that. And I thought of a quote before, as Joe was mentioning, like, how marriage started and, like, mm-hmm. where does it come from and stuff. And I just wanted to read a little bit from the Catechism of the Catholic Church on page, Article 1605. It says, Holy Scripture affirms that man and woman were created for one another. It is not good that the man should be alone. The woman, flesh of his flesh, his equal, his nearest in all things, is given to him by God as a helpmate. She thus represents God, from whom comes our help. Therefore, a man leaves his father and his mother and cleaves to his wife, and they become one flesh. The Lord himself shows that this signifies an unbreakable union of their two lives by recalling what the plan of the Creator had been in the beginning. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Mm. That's really cool. That's really nice. And how we were saying before, that God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. So as God created marriage in the beginning as good, and that humans were created in God's image and likeness to be good, and that that he made us out of love, so we're in turn meant to love one another and you know, have children and mm-hmm. so forth, and in a marriage. Mm-hmm. So that's,
and I think the be fruitful and multiply can mean in so many different ways. You know, there's the obvious way in a marriage being open to life and open to children, you know, and I think, but there's so many ways you can be fruitful. You know, Jesus speaks so often too about the harvest out there, and the harvest is great, but the laborers are few, you know. And as a marriage, missionary marriage, together, you're supposed to be working on that harvest, I believe, you know, and working on evangelizing. And everybody out there is a brother and sister in Christ, you know. And fruitful also to me means trying to touch other people, you know, allow them to experience the graces and blessings of your marriage, you know, give them that love that you share together, welcome other people into that love. You know, so I think being fruitful and multiplying is also more than just having children, but touching other people, you know, multiplying God's love out there, mm-hmm. you know.
And also that can mean just keeping on the tradition of the Catholic faith and the religion of Christianity that goes back all the way to Jesus Christ, and doing things like that. So it could mean a lot of different ways that it means be fruitful. Mm-hmm. You know.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I didn't Absolutely. Think of that. Like, carry on the faith, be fruitful, like, right. you know, bear fruit, like what you were saying, like Jesus.
Yes.
There's another quote, I am the vine, you are the branches, like, bear much fruit.
Yes.
Also, that's great.
Right, yeah. Just keep the tradition going, keep essentially. It going that's what he's saying. Families. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Don't forget it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can't forget marriage itself as a sacrament, like the other sacraments that we were talking about before. You know, and with the sacrament comes graces and blessings of that sacrament. You know, so I feel like in your marriage, each spouse is going to be blessed by God. You know, you're receiving special graces and blessings. And to me, like what God always says, you know, don't hide your, what is it, hide your light under a bushel. You know, like what you've been given,
your
you should
gifts.
Be. Yeah, mm-hmm. your gifts under a bushel. Like, you know, what you've been given, you should be sharing with others. And I think you're receiving special grace and blessings as a result of being married. But I don't think God even wants you to just keep that to yourself. I think he wants
to your
you
marriage,
to
share it to share others, it with others around you
and invite others mm-hmm. into that, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And
so that's part of what I see as missionary marriage, you know, what you do together, that's part of your mission together, is to touch others together.
Mm-hmm. And you said marriage is a sacrament. And I also wanted to read a little bit of from the Catechism as well. Article 1621 says, in the Latin Rite, the celebration of marriage between two Catholic faithful normally takes place during Holy Mass because of the connection of all the sacraments with the Paschal mystery of Christ. In the Eucharist, the memorial of the New Covenant is realized, the New Covenant in which Christ has united himself forever to the Church, his beloved bride for whom he gave himself up on the cross. It is therefore fitting that the spouses should seal their consent to give themselves to each other through the offering of their own lives by uniting it to the offering of Christ for his Church made present in the Eucharistic sacrifice, and by receiving the Eucharist so that, communicating in the same body and the same blood of Christ, they may form but one body in Christ. Mm. So that I know, yes. I'm reading a lot, but I really like that because it answers, like, you know, why is it important to go to the church even sometimes to get married, you know? And it is important because you need that help from above, and
it's
not just one time, you know. It's you're uniting your sacrifice to what Jesus did in all of history. That's like a timeless thing.
Sure.
If you really think about, like, the magnitude of that, like, that's for all eternity, you know. So right. it's really great. It's right. really a amazing thing. Right. I would say, you know, don't miss that opportunity to get married in the church, you know.
And why does a marriage have to take place in a church? If you think about it, all the sacraments are administered through the church, you know, mm-hmm. and we're saying marriage is a sacrament. You know, there's graces and blessings of the sacrament. That's why a marriage covenant should be formed within a church, because you want your marriage to be blessed as much as you can by God, you know. That's it was very important, you know, to us, of course, to get married in the church. And honestly, you know, talking about, like, opportunities for evangelization and things like that, like, you know, in planning the wedding, a lot of our focus was on trying to make our wedding like an evangelization event as well, because how many opportunities in this day and age do you have to bring your family to church? You know, your family who is probably lapsed Catholics, not Catholic, atheists, you know, I have atheists in my family. And that was an opportunity where now they're going to be forced to come to church. So
at least once in a while for your marriage.
Yes. Yeah. Take advantage of that opportunity.
For maybe family members that haven't been to church in a long time to go to church. And we got married at St. Ignatius in Hicksville, and we love that church because we grew up in Hicksville. We both went to Hicksville High School. And that church has so much history. Mm. And it's such a beautiful church that we were so excited, like, when we got married, to, you know, show our family members that might not have been to church in a long time, or not even been to that church in particular, mm-hmm. and to show, like, how beautiful that church mm-hmm. is. And I just love I'm kind of veering off a little bit as St. Ignatius, but it's just it's such a beautiful church and has such history that's it's seen so much. Mm-hmm. Just a quick history, quick, is that that church, essentially the church that's there now, was built in like 1901, but the church the original church was built in 1850 that they knocked down, but on the same land. So just to think, I always think in my head of all the history that church has seen in the past is, like, really beautiful.
And how many weddings have taken
right.
place?
Since 1850, yeah.
1850, mm-hmm. and just American history, too, that it's seen, you know, all the stuff that happened in our country. Mm-hmm. You know, it's amazing, you know. But
So when we were planning, you know, our wedding, it was a big thing to have it in the church. And, you know, one of our main goals was to use that opportunity to try to bring our family closer to God. You know, it wasn't, you know, of course we were worried about the reception, you know, the party and stuff like that, but I think the whole wedding day in itself was an opportunity to try to bring our family closer to God. You know, with our wedding favors, you know, we put a scriptural quote, which I put here, which is, "For where your treasure is, there also will your heart be." Luke 12:34. So we left everybody with a little piece of scripture. We put that in, like, a little treasure box.
Oh, trying
to make it like a treasure thing.
We had kind of a treasure theme. Our reception was at Atlantis, you know,
in
Marine
Riverhead.
World. Yes.
The Marine World. Oh, that's so cool.
So we had a little bit of a treasure theme running through it. We tried to, you know, inflict little bits of scripture here and there. And we tried to make the ceremony beautiful, because beauty reminds people of God, you know. So we tried to, we hired a string quartet to have beautiful music, you know. We had like the aisle runner, you know, custom made everything, you know, to try to remind people of the beauty of God. And like Joe was saying, the church itself is so old and so beautiful. You know, how can you not be awestruck by that? So
yeah, the stained glass, beautiful statues. Yeah, sometimes for me, yeah, you just see like a beautiful statue and you just like, you know, you're praying in that sense because you're reminded of God's beauty and creation is good. And yes, just his creation, you guys were seeing like little fish and stuff. So yeah, that's pretty
actually
cool.
That
so
did all come together.
It all came together.
Being at an aquarium.
So yeah, we tried to make it beautiful. You know, we did get like comments afterwards about how beautiful the music was, you know. So maybe these people weren't necessarily Catholic or something, but they were touched by how beautiful the music was, you know. So in some way, maybe that reminded them of the beauty of God, because where were we? We were in the context of a church and they were struck by beauty. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of our goal. And, you know, what we just tried to do is plant seeds. So hopefully that planted seeds and they will continuously be watered, you know, when they see the fruits of our marriage, you know, maybe mm-hmm. they'll think back to that where they saw it first planted. You know, it was in the church.
Great. You know? Yeah. And I love the nature themes running through our conversation. Yeah, I love it. It's great because now it's springtime, you know, it's time to plant and just everything is growing and, you know, bearing fruit. And I also wanted to mention the saint of the day. Sometimes we have our dear Dr. Palmer and Dr. Truffo would have a saint of the day. And I thought of Saint Therese of Lisieux, Saint Therese of the Little Flower. Her parents recently, in 2015, in October, Pope Francis canonized them, Saint Louis Martin and Saint Zelie Martin is the mom. And I thought that they were great examples. And I just want to read a little bit about their life. So Louis Martin, the father, was a watchmaker by trade and quite a successful one. So he actually was born into a family of soldiers and spent his early years at various French military posts. Let's see. He also settled down in a small city in France and pursued watchmaking. It was a quiet place, and he was a quiet man. Mm. And he, at 22, he sought to enter the religious life at the monastery of the Augustine canons. And then, unfortunately, the abbot insisted that the young candidate learn Latin. So then he pretty much abandoned... I guess it wasn't for him. His determined
that was the deal
efforts,
breaker.
his determined efforts failed. He couldn't. I guess it was very hard for him to learn Latin. He became ill and dispirited, and said, "I guess this is not for me if I can't learn Latin."
Wow.
So, which I guess during that time maybe the church, I guess they had Latin. So. But he was a great watchmaker.
Right.
And then Zelie, which is St. Teresa's mom, she was a lace maker. She was born into a military family as well. Her father and mother showed her little affection. And as a young lady, she sought unsuccessfully to enter the religious order as well. And she also... discerned that it was not for her. And then eventually they both met, and they fell in love, and they had children, and one of them was Saint Therese of Lisieux. And what I really like about their story is that they were pursuing their life as individuals, and they thought God was calling them to the religious life, and then that wasn't the case for them. But then they still they loved each other, and the husband and wife, they formed a family, a nurturing family environment for their children. And they brought their children to church every Sunday. And I like in the quote, St. Therese of Lisieux in her autobiography says that her father would call her Little Queen, and he would swing her on the swing, and they would take walks in the garden, and so they were hard workers too. The father was a watchmaker and the mother was a lace maker, and the father was heartbroken when his wife passed away before him. Mm. But then for a couple of years afterwards, he carried on the family, and then he passed away as well. So they struggled in their family too, you know, the death of a mom, but they had the faith, and they had that joy. I'm just thinking of Saint Therese's autobiography. She would mention nature and time spent with her family. They would go on, they would see their her aunt and her cousins in a nearby town in France, and spend time in the countryside, mm-hmm. and just they would study, you know, they would go to school and do their lessons, but also do stuff around the house. And so it was a very ordinary family. And I think that's such a great reminder for us as well, that we're being missionaries in our own life through the family that we touch, through coworkers, just, you know, trying to pray every day, just kind of spend that quiet time with God, with nature, with beauty around us. So it all comes together in that great way. So sure.
I think that's such a wonderful example of the domestic church, you know, mm-hmm. that John Paul II speaks about, that every family is in itself a church, you know. And can you imagine a more powerful domestic church than, you know, the two parents are becoming canonized and the daughter becomes canonized? And
yeah,
that should really be the goal of all of us, to become saints, you know.
That's inspiring, because their parents and their child was a saint. So that's like, we all want to be in heaven one day as well, you know. And
definitely,
yeah.
And to get there, we have to be a saint. So really, that has to be our goal,
mm-hmm.
for yeah. everyone in our family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we just gotta.
I have another quote from
go ahead.
John Paul II about that, where he says, "Thus, the little domestic church, like the greater church, needs to be constantly and intensely evangelized. Hence its duty regarding permanent education in the faith. The family, like the church, ought to be a place where the gospel is transmitted and from which the gospel radiates. The future of evangelization depends in great part on the church of the home." So I think Katerina's example was just beautiful with that the home is a church, you know, where we are building up one another in the faith. We have to constantly educate ourselves in the faith and constantly pray, you know, and try to draw closer to God, bring the whole family closer to God, you know, so we're strengthened and we could bring that out there to the world, and then try to draw others into that family. You know, like Bishop Barr said, welcome others back to church. So we have to go out there and welcome others back into the church, or welcome them into our family, you know, the family of God.
Mm-hmm. We're all one family.
We're all one family.
Right, the church could only be at certain places. It could be everywhere, but the physical church, like the actual church, could only be in so many places, and that the home is part of the church, and our culture and what happens outside of the church is also part of it, and that's just as important, and we have to use that also, because if we don't, then, you know, the outside society and culture is going to influence mm-hmm. too much, you know,
mm-hmm.
and we have to be mindful of that.
And we are the church, really, the body of Christ. So like Joe was saying, the physical church is in one place, but we bring the church out to the world in mm-hmm. our marriage and in our daily lives.
That reminded me of two things really quickly. So like us as individuals, we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. So we're like a church as well. We're a temple of
tabernacle
God. Tabernacle of God's
Spirit.
Grace. So us as individuals as well are churches, like going out on mission. And also I wanted to mention an event that's coming up on June 2nd. There's going to be a young adult coffee house in Greenlawn, St. Francis of Assisi Church, for teens and young adults. It starts at 7 p.m. and it's free, and all are welcome to attend, and it should be great. I'm looking forward to it, and So, nice. So yeah, I think that's a great way to wrap it up. And, you know, Pentecost is coming, so we pray to the Holy Spirit for grace. And I just wanted to say thank you, listeners, for listening in. Thank you, Melissa and Joe. It was such a great show.
Thank you, Katarina, for having us.
It went by so fast.
Yeah, it goes quick.
Yeah, all the time, I say. But I'm so happy, and thank you for sharing about marriage. And tune in next week, everybody.
Yep. Tune in.
And God bless you, and have a great weekend.
I was young and bold.